Garmeyer, Brother and Sister, August 1890. Brother and Sister Garmeyer, for thus I shall call you, since visiting your house, Sabbath afternoon, August 23rd, some things have rested on my mind to say to you. I have no hesitancy in saying that Annie's visions are not of God. The dreams that the members of your family have had are a deception of Satan. Will the Lord give light through an impure, corrupt channel? No. This wonderful interpretation of Scripture, which you have accepted, came from a man who was wholly deceived. Such ideas as he advanced, such interpretation of the third angel's message and other Bible truths, such corrupting, sensual things, could only come from a mind defiled. My pen refuses to trace his blasphemous pretensions. Here is where you received your light. Annie's visions have no higher source than the ideas you accepted from the blind man, Jones. Can an impure fountain send forth pure water? Never. The imagination of the man was wholly defiled, and yet he presented his error as solemn, sacred truth. Think you the Lord would pass by his people, who are striving to do his work, and impart light to one corrupt in heart, whose theories would lead to moral pollution and defilement of soul and body? No, indeed, no. Satan saw that he could work upon your fruitful imagination and lead you, with others, into his net. Did God give you that time message? No, for no such message comes from the true source of light. You present your calculations and figures, as many first-day Adventists have done, but your reckoning is founded on false premises. In the little leaflet you sent out, you speak of the judgment coming in 1 hour, and that God will work his strange work and cut it short in righteousness, and seal to himself a remnant in 15 days. On page 8, you present Annie's vision in regard to a certain woman as a confirmation of your theory that probation would end in October 1884. There is nothing to this. Probation is not yet closed. The saints are not yet sealed. In the next paragraph, you give Annie's dream in regard to her father. Neither has this any weight, nor the dream your wife has had. They are all false. I quote from your tract, "The Lord plainly tells you the literal days he will be pleading with you," in Hosea 5, verse 7, "for 15 days on the testimony, and 15 more days on the laws," in the loud cry. I shall not be able to get this tract before any of you more than 30 days before the time is accomplished. You say, "Hundreds will be in the tabernacle, and as they have rejected the Lord, he will reject them, and send them strong delusions, that they may believe a lie."
Who was it that was deluded? Who was it that believed a lie?
Then you make quotations from Sister White to substantiate your false theories. 40,000 of these leaflets were sent out. One of your party prevailed upon a young man who was naturally conscientious to steal the mailing list of the Review and Herald from which to obtain names to send your falsehoods. This was a state's prison crime. Such work in no sense bears the divine mark. Time has proved you to be a false prophet, and Annie's visions false exercises. God never works in this way. Satan has other and stronger delusions prepared for you. You will claim, if you have not already done so, that you have a work to do in connection with Annie's visions, corresponding to that of the mighty angel that came down from heaven, whose glory lightened the earth. Satan sees that your mind is all ready to be impressed with his suggestions, and he will use you to your own ruin, unless, in the name of the Lord, you break the shackles that bind you. The parable of the call to supper has no bearing on your theories. It is a lesson given by Christ to reach to the close of probation. You dwell on this parable and call it the Scripture when you have wholly perverted and misapplied its meaning. You and your wife and Sister Eastman have said, "Show us from the Bible that we are in error, and we will give it up." But how can I prove your error by Scripture when you misinterpret and misapply it as you do? It was this same spirit in the Jews which called forth the words of Christ, "Ye are both ignorant of the Scriptures and of the power of God." Matthew 22, verse 29. They entertained the idea that Christ, at his first advent, was to break the Roman yoke from off their necks, and that he would then honor Israel by placing them above every other people on the earth. And they produced Scripture to sustain them, but they were deceived. The Old Testament prophecies which relate to the glorious second appearing of Christ, they applied to his first advent. And many, even the wise and educated, were deceived. Their error was fatal.
Several times during our conversation, in which you became very much in earnest, you repeated the sentence, "O consistency, thou art a jewel." I repeat the same with decided force to you. You say that Annie's visions place the forming of the image of the beast after probation closes. This is not so. You claim to believe the testimonies. Let them set you right on this point. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God, by which their eternal destiny will be decided. Your position is such a jumble of inconsistencies that but few will be deceived. In this subject is plainly presented, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Then the miracle-working power is revealed, "and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. All who prove their loyalty to God by observing his law and refusing to accept a spurious Sabbath will rank under the banner of the Lord God Jehovah and will receive the seal of the living God. Those who yield the truth of heavenly origin and accept the Sunday Sabbath will receive the mark of the beast. What need will there be of the solemn warning not to receive the mark of the beast, when all the saints of God are sealed and ticketed for the New Jerusalem? O consistency, thou art a jewel. You have taken the history of the disobedient prophet as given in the Old Testament and applied it to Sister White. You say she is perfectly honest, but the deceived prophet. For this reason, the testimonies of the Spirit of God can have no effect on you. Has the Lord opened to you or your daughter, your wife, or your children the disobedience of Sister White? If she has walked contrary to God, will you show in what? My duty is to make plain statements of my position, for you misinterpret my testimony, wrench it from its true meaning, and ring in my name whenever you think it will enforce whatever you have to say. But when the testimonies do not harmonize with your theories, I am excused, because I am the false prophet. There are many ways of evading the truth. You seem to have special bitterness against Elder Smith and some others of our brethren, and you have talked out these feelings in your family, thus leavening them. The Lord has seen fit to counsel Elder Smith, to give him words of reproof because he had erred.
But is this an evidence that God has forsaken him?
No. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
The Lord reproves wrongs in his people, but is this an evidence that he has rejected them?
No. There are errors in the church, and the Lord points them out by his own ordained agencies, not always through the testimonies.
Now shall we seize these reproofs and make capital of them, and say that God is not imparting to them his light and love?
No. The very work that God is trying to do for them shows that he loves them and wants to draw them away from paths of danger. God has spoken in reference to yourself. That which you term light from heaven, he has pronounced darkness, and the visions born of this error he calls a delusion.
Will you believe this testimony? Will you heed what the Lord has spoken through Sister White, or will you cast the word of the Lord behind you?
Will you quote this testimony as readily and make capital of it, as you have of testimonies of reproof given your brethren who have erred in some things? O consistency, thou art a jewel.